when we leave it all at the table, God never leaves us empty. He always is ready to fill us. And so now we have the opportunity by the reading and the gift of his word to be filled. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, by your presence, open our ears and our hearts to God's word today, which is sharper than any two-edged sword. Please speak to us according to your will. Amen. Our scripture reading today is from Psalm 146. Hear the word of the Lord. Praise God. As long as I have breath in my body, I will praise God. Don't pin your hopes on the genius of men or women. Their ultimate end is the same as yours. And they become once more like the dust from which they came. Those who draw their strength from God are secure. The Lord who created the earth and all upon it is the only one who can heal the wounds and mend the fractures of our disjointed world. God can break the bonds of obsession and pierce humanity's stupor with visions of trust. God tenderly reaches out to those who are oppressed and reveals God's concern for those who are lost and lonely. God watches over God's own, while the paths of the godless lead to their own destruction. This is the God who is alive. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Ron. It's nice to have both of you back from your travels. Have you with us for a time? So our second scripture reading today, of course, is from Philippians. We're in chapter 4, and we're going to start at verse 10 through the end of the letter here. Listen for the word of the Lord. I rejoiced greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I am not saying this because I am in need, because I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. Yet it was good of you to share in my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid more than once when I was in need. Not that I desire your gifts. What I desire is that more be credited to your account. I have received full payment and have more than enough. I am amply supplied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice pleasing to God. And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I've often been told that I should be reusing some of my sermons from the past. How would you react if I said, today's just a do-over? Yeah, you'd laugh because, no, it's not. It's not. Those on camera, it's not. You can go back and look. But Philippians chapter 4 would be a good one. It's something I've preached on at least a few times because it has so much good content and wonderful encouragement in it for us as Christians. I never know how to explain to those who say that, and a lot of people saying that. Well, my parents say it a lot.
probably because they see me looking tired or something like that, right? I never know how to explain that preparing a message is so much more than digging through my old files and trying to find Philippians and find something that's going to fit and something that's going to work. One of those dynamics is that God definitely begins to work on me as I prepare, as that passage comes about and that week begins. God uses that scripture in my life as I begin to write some things down and study. So with that said, it was no surprise this week when I began to worry and experience all kinds of anxiety and discontent because of what we are looking at today. That's just how God seems to work through this process. I've been thinking about our teenagers here at HPC a lot, and been thinking about my own kids a lot. As you know, Todd and I have four teenagers. Well, we have three teenagers and one young adult combined. And they, as well as the others who go to this church, are busy trying to finish up the school year. If they're in high school, there's finals. If they go to a good high school, there seems to be a lot of finals, kind of like college used to be for us. There's some nods going on in the back. Todd's daughter, Zoe, just has one more week of being a freshman. My twins have two more weeks of being sophomores, and one of them is going into early college. No, we can't do this, can we? I'm going to need some support from all my Christian brothers and sisters later on because it's a lot. When we began this series, we started out talking about being of one mind in Christ, and then we kind of switched gears into anxiety and worries and concerns last week, and that's why I'm thinking a lot about those kids, Gen Z, and all of the worries and concerns they carry. It's a hard time to grow up. Just as a little update, we're discerning how to start youth group consistently. Here at HPC, we've had really good turnout with things we did with other churches, but even things that we've done alone. So that's very exciting. So stay tuned. We're just pray for that process as we continue to sort of sort out what that might look like in the fall. So that brings us to our passage for today, perfect for addressing adolescent concerns, but also perfect for addressing some of our concerns as adults. As my mom always tells me, they're still your kids when they're adults, meaning she worries a lot for her kids, right, and for her grandkids. In the remainder of this letter to the people at Philippi, it appears that Paul has found some kind of secret to happiness or contentment that he wants to talk about. And I love this Old Testament reading for today from Psalm 146. When you read the traditional version in your pew, you'll see those who trust in the Lord are happy in some translations or blessed in others. It's being blessed, and it's also being perceived as blessed by other people. That person's really blessed. And we've all said something like that about other people. Ron read a different version of that, and I want to credit Lois for bringing my attention to that book called Psalms Now with these wonderful readings that we've used for most of the weeks that we've been looking at Philippians. In her rendition of Psalm 146, she says, "Don't pin your hopes on the genius of men or women. Their ultimate end is the same as yours, and they become once more like the dust from which they came." Amen. That's kind of depressing. The psalmist says, those who only trust in humans, and that includes ourselves, those who only trust in, you know, me, I trust in myself, will be very disappointed because we all perish. This is a topic in our household all the time. We all perish, and with that, so do our plans. The psalmist appears to creation. We observe God made all of this, the earth and everything in it, and so why would we put all of our hope or faith in humankind when our days are so fleeting? The power of the resurrection is seen every day in nature. Maybe that's why I love it so much, especially during the spring, right? As the bulbs emerge, as the trees seem to double in size overnight, it's just a beautiful time of year, and we're reminded of that new life. We had an old deck. This is another wonderful house story. We had an old deck when we moved in 2 years ago that was splintery and nails and things coming out of it and weeds coming out of it, all kinds of things. And next to it was like a brick pad, but it sort of had a cobblestone effect because the bricks were all wonky and you couldn't walk on it for anything. And under those bricks and under that deck were plants that were trying to grow. Not just weeds, but ferns. Last year, we seem to do one big project every year on this yard of ours. Last year, we replaced that deck and dug out those little ferns. And some of them were quite smushed and looking like they would never make it. And we moved them to other places in our yard, and there they are. They're so strong, right, and resilient. That reminds me of resurrection. That's our Creator, who the psalmist says also sets prisoners free, opens the eyes of the blind, watches over strangers, upholds the orphan, upholds the widow. If the Lord can sustain the life of a fern who is crushed, how much more is the Lord able to sustain our lives by whatever is crushing us and smushing us down? We are at a time in history where there are people who are struggling financially, worried about the cost of eggs for one, or other groceries or household goods, have lost some jobs, have concerns about Social Security checks and other programs, concerned about the cost of college for our children as our children grow up. Another daily discussion is who is paying for this, right? How to retire, all these different things impact all families and filter down to our kids and our grandkids and our teenagers. And we all kind of are in this space of having to wait for what we want or what we need. I would certainly like some different things in my backyard, including a wonderful hot tub, wouldn't you? We're in a space of waiting for those different things, and sometimes also what we need. We have to wait, and that's a very hard lesson. Paul's been through all of the ups and downs, the likes of which you and I, of course, have never seen, but I know most of us here have also had our share. He talks about this in verse 12. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. And then he says he has a secret to happiness or to contentment. To continue verse 12, Paul says, I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. That's a big claim. Whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. And then in verse 13, I can do all this through him who gives me strength. Who is him? Who is he? That's Jesus Christ, of course, Paul's secret. Now, this is misquoted often, saying, well, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And that's not exactly what it says. I learned a long time ago, I can't do all things. I can't do a cartwheel, actually. I've tried, but I have not tried in several years. Good, I made you laugh. But it is true. I can't do calculus. Never took it. I can't sing opera. I can sing a mean alto. There's a lot of other things that I can't do. But I am able to cope and live and survive through difficulty I never imagined I would see in my own personal life and in that of my family. Those things that I'm glad I did not know would happen ahead of time, right? I would love if we as believers began to tell other people, you cope, you are going to survive this, all things through Christ who gives you strength. instead of, well, God won't give you more than you can handle. But we'll go into that another time. Now, when Paul writes here in other places about contentment, he's often writing about greed and glory. And these are pretty closely related. Paul's learned through his life experiences that even those who believe in Christ get caught up in what others think of them, and sometimes even get caught up judging others. This goes back to making sure we're working on our mindsets like we talked about last week. Because we read earlier in chapter 4, and we would do well to visit this often, and I visited this week as well. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, with prayer and petition and with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And then what happens? The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, we don't know how it works, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Your mind is part of that there. The Apostle Paul, just like all of us over our lives, and it's a process, and that's another topic too, learned to find his identity in Christ. Not in how much money we make, not in having the right brand name shoes. One of you asked me how many pairs of shoes I have. I have some work to do. Not in having a brand name purse, not in having the best looking yard on the block. Not in having the most successful child or the most loving and attentive grandchild, though I understand grandchildren are pretty special. Not in being the smartest, not in taking the best trips overseas, the envy of everyone. Now, you may not feel like you struggle with any of this any longer, but I want to tell you this because of God's word, it creeps in. It creeps in and shows up even if we are lifelong Christians who have followed him for many, many years. It creeps in. It creeps into our language, how we carry ourselves, what we talk about. We also must use caution. We do not attribute having wonderful things or having more money or feeling very blessed and appearing very blessed that we don't attribute those things to our faithfulness. And that we do not attribute hardship to a lack of faithfulness. Because Scripture says it rains on the righteous and the unrighteous. It's coming. Life is a real journey. It's really hard. It's a lot of struggle. The righteous and the unrighteous. And Paul is saying, God gives us the strength to get through it and to cope with these things. And there's some other things that God gives us to get through those things as well. I had a grandmother who was raised during the Depression, and certain things became really important to her because she didn't have them when she was growing up, right? She's been gone for a very long time now. Well, when I was, in high school or college, she used to give me a lot of hand-me-downs, and she would walk next door. This was in Philadelphia, and she said that her next-door neighbors were these two young women who were models in New York. That was like the narrative. And she would bring me all their clothes when she visited. And I actually didn't mind. I learned to love hand-me-downs. I'm the oldest child, so I didn't get a lot of hand-me-downs along the way, and they had wonderful clothing. It looked good, it seemed to be in style, whatever. But this was important to her. She cared about how she dressed. She was really good at finding a really good deal on something that was expensive. She told me all about TJ Maxx and when they stock their shelves and when to go and how to pick out what's good and that kind of thing, really cute. She always said the truck arrives on Tuesdays. I don't know if that's still true or not. So she might be where I got my love for kind of thrifting and antique shops and things like that. But when she died, I remember going under her bed and trying to help clear out things. And she had shoes with tags on them. Glory and greed are closely related. And Paul, through his life, he says, found his identity in Christ. This is from 2 Corinthians. He says, I will not boast about myself except about my weaknesses. Even if I should choose to boast, I would not be a fool because I would be speaking the truth. But I refrain so no one will think more of me than is warranted by what I do or say, or because of these great revelations. He says, therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it from me, but he said to me, this is the important piece, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. He says, that is why for Christ's sake I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Now, as this series comes to a close, we remember, and this might be the most important piece today, we remember that we do not do any of this alone. We remember Paul wrote this letter to a group of people, and so while this impacts us as individuals, it also impacts us as Christ Church, and we remember all the things we talked about. We're sort of citizens of the gospel, working and representing Christ together. Even Paul ministered to others with other people's help. He had his Timothy who would carry his things for the children's sermon forward, right? Or you're not Timothy, you know what I mean. He had his companions that he shared in that work with. He talked about conflict. He talked about reasons to be of one mind so that people would see Christ through us. He's talked about what to focus on in this letter last week, and he thanks the Philippians for their gifts and for Epaphroditus who delivered them. And we realize we cannot be content without depending on other people. I think that's kind of interesting. I've been spending some time on that this morning. That came to me sort of late in the sermon prep, that we cannot be content without being dependent on other people. Some of the most discontent people I know, think about it from your life, are those who do not want to let other people into what's going on. They're closed off, and they don't allow others to help them. The most discontent of the people I know seem to be the ones who are only dependent on themselves and do everything themselves and feel very proud about it. Life is so hard, it's really hard to get through alone, as I said. We are interdependent, is Paul's message. We are Christ's body, sisters and brothers. He says, God will provide for your needs, and he gives thanks for how God's provided for him as he sits imprisoned through these other people. He couldn't depend on himself. His power was not found in his strength. It was found in his weakness. All this is God's work. So rather than for glory, we live by the way of the cross, humble, seeking reconciliation, and working with and depending on one another when we need something. I was reading in 1 Thessalonians, it's chapter 4 if you want to look later. And Paul talks about, you know, he calls us to pretty simple lives, really. Loving others, living quietly, not to receive glory from other people, staying out of the drama and keeping our hands busy. Keeping busy. Pretty simple. Now, next week is Pentecost, where we'll celebrate the gift of the Holy Spirit, who, thank the Lord, for His gift of the Holy Spirit helps us to do all of these things. And I'm looking forward to that. And we're actually going to have a special guest from Village of Hope talk to us before she goes off to Uganda. So please come for that. And as we finish, may God's grace and peace be with this body of people, this church. May we remain in sync with one another and of one mind in Jesus Christ so that others will know him. Amen.